3663.
One Democrat compared health care to the Holocaust. What's that all about? In the meantime, still cleaning up after the tsunami. Sadly, more bodies discovered and thousands trapped in an Indonesian quake. We have all the details on that. In the meantime, Biner blasting Obama with the big fat Olympic move. Then the Trib did a poll where the folks who were polled pretty much split evenly on whether or not Barack Obama, our president, one, should have gone off to Copenhagen or is going to go off to Copenhagen on Friday, and also whether or not the Windy City should host the Olympics in the first place in 2016. 47 in favor, 45% against. Maybe a little bit of surprise in that. Coming up on this show, a jam-packed hour, and boy, I really mean it with guests. We're going to talk to a band that's about ready to break that we've been very supportive of on this show, out of Seattle, called Shoddy. They just did a West Coast swing. We'll have a conversation with them, what it was like to go on the road. Can one only imagine how many frustrated rockers are there listening to this show? Robert Liparulo, who has a couple of Hollywood screenplays that are brewing about and might be made into movies. He's sort of another version of Tom Clancy. Will join us to talk about Facebook and kids and the influence there. And then also coming up in the second hour, Harry Rinker will talk about collectibles. So if you collect anything from salt and pepper shakers to sports memorabilia, you want to make sure that you tune in for that and give him a call in the second hour. And between that, obviously, politics, politics, and more of the nastiness on the Hill, especially over health care. Right here at the top on Wednesdays, we spend a few with Easy Ticket Mike talking a little sports. He is a ticket broker and has tickets galore, not just for sports, but if you're listening to us in Connecticut, just outside, a stone's throw away from New York and the Garden and all the great concerts that go there. Also, he has concert tickets. You can go to easy-ticket.com. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Kate. I was looking for some Shoddy tickets, but I couldn't find them.
I'll tell you what, one day you might have those Shoddy tickets. They are a pretty hot band. Like I said, they're just about ready to break, and they're starting to get some of those cool things that happened to you in the beginning. I just tell them, Mike, and I'll tell them when they come on the show, I've tried to help them however I could along the way, so I better get tickets when they're at Madison Square Garden. They better leave them for me. That's what I told them. I threatened them. Hey, speaking of tickets, they finally, as many people listening to us know because we do the nail the score thing, the Cowboys on that Monday night game finally learned their lesson, and with the standing room only tickets that they had, they cut down the amount. For people who don't know, I mean, it was a ridiculous amount of people that were at the at Jerry's Palace on the previous Sunday, and it was almost a fire hazard, I guess. So they cut down the amount of people that could actually get those standing room only tickets, and it turned out a lot better for the Cowboys, and so did the results finally in the end of the game, huh?
Yeah, they the Cowboys, you know, were able to beat the Panthers. Was 21-7, and you know, they looked pretty good. The Panthers just didn't look like they were there at all. So right now we still have seven undefeated teams in the NFL right now, but coming next week we'll at least be down to six, because the Jets are going to play the Saints, who are both undefeated right now, and one's going to come out a loser, I know. So
I'm
guessing I'm guessing New Orleans going to win, and not New York, or New Orleans going to win that game and not New York. So, but speaking of New York, you know, the Giants, they're looking really good. They whooped up on Tampa Bay this last weekend.
Tampa Bay, though, has so many problems. Tampa Bay's brutal. They may be one of the worst teams in the league. But, like you said, they whooped up on them to bagel somebody. Can you imagine the Buccaneers not even putting up any kind of a score on the board? That's nuts.
Yeah, that's terrible. I mean, this is just not their year. Of course, the Giants are going. They're going to be playing Kansas City this week, so I don't think they're going to have any more any trouble there. But The big game is next Monday, and Brett Favre goes back with his Vikings back into Lambeau Field. And, I think Favre will win that game for him, and I don't think he's going to be welcome back in Green Bay anymore.
I don't think so either, especially showing up in that Vikings uniform. And you're right, that's one of the biggest games, I think, on the schedule heading into the NFL season. We talked about that one a lot. And Brett Favre with that last-minute touchdown over San Francisco, that might have been, in fact, I'm going to say it was the best game that I saw all weekend long, because with just 12 seconds left on the clock, nobody was really expecting Brett Favre to be able to pull that out the way he did, even though he's had an amazing amount of comebacks in his career. But that was a thrilling finish. I don't know, Mike. I don't know how you feel about this, but the Vikings, pretty much to me, are definitely going to be contenders this time around.
Yeah, they look like a real team. And, you know, you talk about a late scoring game, the Cincinnati-Pittsburgh game. I think Pittsburgh pulled to Dallas this last weekend, and they gave the game away at the end.
Mm. Yeah, no kidding. That was a very crazy finish. All right, college football. What did you see that you thought was interesting this past weekend?
Well, there were very few upsets, but for the most part, except Mississippi, that was ranked number four. They got beat by South Carolina, 16-10. Of course, it knocked them out of the top ten. Texas, they ran over UT El Paso 64-7, so there wasn't much of a game there. They play the 1-2 Colorado Buffaloes this weekend. Florida, they're going to be idle this week, but this last week they whooped up on Kentucky, pretty bad, but like I said, Florida, they're idle this weekend, but they're resting up for their game this next week with LSU. And mm-hmm. I think that's going to be a fantastic game. Alabama, they're going to play Kentucky. I don't see them having any problem this weekend with them. So, otherwise, hockey's coming up.
I know. The puck drops for the first time for the regular season tomorrow night, and there's just a handful of games. I'm a huge hockey fan. I grew up in a hockey family. I've talked about it before in America Tonight, so I'm excited about it. I know that you like hockey, and you have hockey tickets, right?
Yeah, I've got a lot of tickets available for pretty much, most of the teams, most of the games, and I can get tickets to pretty much anything. But what I saw in the preseasons, the Stars, they looked terrible in the preseason. Of course, that may be a good omen because Chicago and Pittsburgh, they were at the bottom of their respective divisions also. And I think both of them are going to be a strong contenders into the regular season. So the whole season lasts, but a little bit over 6 months. And I look for Pittsburgh and Detroit to be strong again, and along with Anaheim and the New York Rangers.
So we'll see what happens. Hey, we're out of time. Easy Ticket, Mike. Go to easy-ticket.com. Don't forget about baseball. I'm a huge Phillies fan. They nailed it, but, of course, they won the World Series last year. So in the National League, looking pretty interesting. We had a lot of Cards fans that called us on our last show. The regular season wrapping up on the 4th, however. Go to easy-ticket.com. Mike, thanks. We'll talk to you next week.
Good evening, Kate.
Toxins are in our foods, and chemicals are in our air. Chemicals are in our water supply. We purify our air and we purify our water, and yet we forget to purify our bodies. Funny, our bodies continue to absorb these deadly toxins and chemicals every day. Isn't it time to make a change? Maybe a life change? Get rid of toxins and chemicals. GetTheTea.com. Log on to GetTheTea.com and order your protection today. Our testimonies tell the truth. GetTheTea.com. Or you can call us at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Cleanse from toxins and chemicals, lose some weight, and get free from unhealthy living. Order today at GetTheTea.com.
When making important financial decisions, you should always know the facts. That's why Midas Resources is willing to pay you to read the facts. Midas Resources, a team of hand-picked financial specialists with decades of financial experience who are ready to provide you with state-of-the-art, up-to-date financial services. Midas Resources offers a host of services and stands behind their products. In fact, if you call and order their free Midas report, Midas Resources will pay you. This detailed report will provide you with financial history on the safest and most profitable areas to invest in. If you read the report, Midas Resources will send you a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar. So what are you waiting for? Get the facts and call Midas Resources toll free at 888-292-2709. That's 888-292-2709. And remember, if you read the Midas report, you'll receive a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthy I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Just walk away, pretending everything's okay, and you don't care about me.
It's interesting. We're trying to educate everybody about social networking and how that all works. Last night we did a little bit on Twittering because we see that politicians, media types, even a mother giving birth actually tweeted when she was giving birth. How a woman does that, I have no idea. But we're going to continue down that road of what's good about Twitter and how to use it, and also Facebooking as well. Kate Delaney, America Tonight, one of our favorite authors, joins us now to break that down. Robert Liparillo. And Robert, I'll tell you, I was just astounded when I heard that story. I know you have children and have seen what your wife has gone through. Can you imagine your wife tweeting while giving birth?
Oh, man. How did she take her hands off of her husband's face, you know, as she's clawing him long enough to tweet?
I don't know. I think it's one of the funniest stories I've ever seen. But it's so true. People are starting to finally catch on to this. And I wondered, and we have just a terrific thing that we're going to talk about here on this segment, and it's kids and Facebook, because I wondered about that. And you're a parent. There are some parents that don't like MySpace, don't like Facebook, are paranoid beyond belief about what their kids are doing on the Internet. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about Facebook and all the other opportunities for kids?
The social networks like Facebook and MySpace and even Twitter to some degree, I don't mind because it's a lot safer than chat rooms, because chat rooms are kind of done in the dark and people aren't watching. And Facebook, just about everybody is watching. So I think there's less opportunity for predators on places like Facebook, even though I think parents need to still have watchful eyes.
Yeah, and we should say, tell everybody about this too. You're the best-selling author of a book called series, The Dream House Kings, and it's for young teens, young adults, we'll say. Yeah. And the whole thing of this is and you can tell the story better than me, but basically that social networking sites could be actually keys to getting your kids to read more. What made you, how did you dream this up, if you will?
Well, the two things that I'm doing with mostly Facebook, but it also goes into MySpace and Twitter and a couple other things. The two things I'm really doing is I'm open for communication with my readers on Facebook. I often get a lot of messages. I have two Facebook accounts. One is kind of personal, even though I really can't call it that anymore since it's up around 3,000 friends. I can't say I know every one of them. And then I also have a fan page, and you can go to either one of them and ask questions or start conversations. In addition to that, the characters from the Dreamhouse Kings, the young protagonists, a 15-year-old boy, a 12-year-old boy, and a 9-year-old girl, all have their own Facebook pages, and they're telling the story of the Dreamhouse Kings through their status reports. And so kids will get online and say, "Don't go in there," you know. So I think it was just a matter of watching the power of it, just having so many people, so many kids come on and say, "I just read this book. I have a question about it," or "Where can I go for more information?" And then all of a sudden I'd start getting emails from the parents of these kids saying, "We read your books, we like it, you know, we're glad you're on Facebook because we can check you out easily, you know, we know that, you know, we know who you are and that you're there." So really it's a way of communicating with kids, and when kids today in our generation can interact, they're going to be interested, and it's a way of kind of going to where they are. And so instead of just saying, "You know what, I'm writing a book and don't touch me and don't, you know," you know, the way it used to be was kind of somebody wrote a book and the only way to reach them was through a letter in the mail, and you might or might not get a letter back. This is completely different now.
Yeah, no kidding. And that's got to be really cool for you too, because of, I'm sure, some of the interesting questions that they ask you or some of the things that you find that are uncovered about characters and whatnot, and just even, you know, the kids talking about the people that they like to read, etc. That's got to be incredibly interesting, I would think, as you sort through that, right?
Well, it's encouraging. It's really nice to put in maybe like a 12 or 14 hour day, which I do when I'm really into writing a story, and be able to take a break and hop over into a Facebook page and get all this encouragement. You know, how many people really get that, and how many writers get that? You know, usually we're in our little cave, and you know the only encouragement we get would be, you know, whatever bestseller list we're on, or an interview just came out in some magazine, or a royalty check came in the mail. But you know, I think I speak for most writers when the most important thing for us as far as encouragement is hearing from readers and that they like what we're doing. And it's so instant with something like Facebook or Twitter, and to have somebody to see a Twitter come through, it says, "Just finished Robert Liparulo's Watcher in the Woods. Absolutely great." You know, it's just like, you know, it doesn't matter how big of a writer you get to be. I think every writer I know, just that's what we live for, is that encouragement. So it is really nice to have that. And I think it's nice for the kids, too, to be able to, or the whoever it is, the readers. I have a lot of adult readers, mm-hmm. too, who to just shoot an email or shoot a Facebook message saying, "You know what, I'm on page 180 and I'm totally confused, you know, what does this guy say, you know, it's in a foreign language, you know," and I could either shoot back with an answer or I could shoot back with, "Well, you're going to have to wait to find out on that one."
Yeah, boy, so. No kidding. And I wonder how, do you think there's a certain age when it's okay to go on Facebook? You know, when do you think kids are ready to do that? When they read more and they're absorbing
it? I think it is a readership level and a maturity level that only the parents could know. I have kids as young as 8 who have friended me. And oftentimes when I first started doing it, I would actually ask them to have their parent email me just to say, "Hey, this is okay." After a while, I realized that it was a lot more common than I thought it was at first to have really young kids on Facebook, and so I stopped that requirement. But I would say my son is 12, and he's had it for about a year or so since he was 11, and he's really he's really conscientious. And, you know, he knows what to say, what not to say. There's some of the reports that are coming out now about how if you say that you're going on vacation, that you know, the bad guys are watching for that. So, you know, there are rules that kids have to learn. Don't say when you're going on vacation. Don't, you know, don't say, hey, I go to this middle school and I get out at 3 o'clock and, you know.
Yeah.
They have to be careful because there are predators out there. And you know, the last thing that I want is to in any way be responsible. If kids are getting on Facebook just because they see I'm on Facebook and they want to be able to communicate with me or with another author, you know, the last thing I would want is for that to lead to something terrible.
Yeah. Well, I think it's cool. I think it's great that the kids are reading and they're talking about it and all that other sort of stuff, and it's great that you get encouragement from that. Hey, I'm going to friend you on Facebook. You better not reject me.
Oh, no way. No way. I'm surprised I haven't sought you out already. I've just my only excuse is I've been over my head on books this year.
That's a good thing. You want to be busy, my friend. Robert, always great to have you on the show. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you, Kate. Good talking to you.
All right. Good talking to you, too. Robert Liparulo, and, of course, we're just talking about the Facebook thing, and as I mentioned, he's got all kinds of things happening in his world, including this little niche now with kids as well, with the Dreamhouse Kings series. And it's kind of, if you will, and you heard him talk about it, it's like the Harry Potter Twilight, sort of his own version, and makes it kind of neat for the kids to get involved in reading. When I was a kid, man, there was nothing like going to the book fair. I like waited for that, and I know this audience. I guarantee some of you can totally relate to this in Kentucky and in Michigan and other places. I loved it when my mother gave me that money and I could go to the book fair and pick out whatever books it was, laid out all over the table trying to run around and figure out what it was I was looking for, whether it was mysteries or it was some kind of a biography or any of that sort of stuff. So it's cool, actually. As he says, if it's done right, I think for the kids to get involved with it, because it encourages them certainly to read more. Coming up on the flip side, from Facebooking to this band called Shoddy that we've had on the show, I want to say a couple of times for the last 2 years, they just did a big, big road trip. And this is a hot, hot band that I think a lot of you will be interested to hear about. If you've been following along on this show, You know, as I check in with them, things are just starting to get better and better and percolating along the way. So we'll find out what the latest is with Shoddy and Shoddy's manager, Robin Fairbanks. Imagine being the manager of a band. Stay with us. That's next on ATN.
Attention landscapers, house painters, carpet cleaners, pet sitters, gutter cleaners, and anyone who has their own home service business. Would you love to build a huge and loyal customer base fast? Well, now you can. Introducing the Magic Yellow Flyer. The Magic Yellow Flyer marketing system is the most effective and inexpensive way to build a referral-only service business in a short period of time. Get new customers and build a solid customer base. Throw away all of the other ineffective and expensive advertising methods. You need the Magic Yellow Flyer. Corporate America is destroying our country, and it's time to rebuild the backbone of America. No matter what business you're in, the Magic Yellow Flyer marketing system will work for you. Don't have a home business? The Magic Yellow Flyer comes with 15 hot home businesses that you can start at a minimum cost. Visit MagicYellowFlyer.com. That's MagicYellowFlyer.com. Put the Magic Yellow Flyer to work for you today. Visit MagicYellowFlyer.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
Food security from eFoods Direct, the most valuable protection your family can have. It's a scary world we live in. Schools closed, businesses shut down, and reports of death, all from the swine flu. We've had more bank failures this year than the previous 10 years combined. And money will soon be more valuable as toilet paper due to the nation's $12 trillion debt, which is why gold is now over $1,000 an ounce. According to the Atlanta Fed chief, unemployment is actually 16%. And the solution for every one of these threats to your family is food security from eFoods Direct. Call 1-800-409-5633 or visit eFoodsDirect.com. Food security for your family from the new Nutraversal Foods from eFoods Direct. Just add water, and in minutes your family will enjoy gourmet restaurant taste, health food quality ingredients, and a guaranteed 10-year shelf life. Food security from eFoods Direct, the most valuable protection your family can have, even more valuable than gold. Visit eFoodsDirect.com or call 1-800-409-5633.
Why are you letting that search engine spy on you?
Spy on me?
Yeah. Don't you know Google, Yahoo, and other search engines record all your searches and store them in a giant database? You should use StartPage instead.
StartPage?
Yeah, StartPage.com, the new name for Ixquick, the world's most private search engine. They don't record your searches or your IP address, and the search results are great. Plus, StartPage is third-party certified, and it's totally free.
I don't want Big Brother watching what I do on the internet. I'm adding StartPage to my browser.
Right. Go to StartPage.com and start searching with privacy.
Hello, folks. This is Alex Jones. There are some habits you need to break if you want to hold on to your privacy. That's why I'm inviting you to take the one-week StartPage challenge. The next time you're about to look something up on Google, Yahoo, or Bing, go to StartPage.com instead. Try 7 days of StartPage and break the Big Brother habit. Do yourself and your privacy a favor. Try StartPage.com for 7 days and start protecting your privacy. That's StartPage.com.
Did you know that colon cancer is one of the most common forms of cancer in the U.S.? Did you know that the number one health problem patients complain to doctors about is gastrointestinal related? Health experts predict that almost every American will develop some type of colon disease, polyp, tumor, or cancer in their lifetime. If you suffer from constipation, irritable bowel syndrome, frequent gas, or other intestinal related problems, you need to take action. That's why you need Temple Cleanse. Temple Cleanse is a unique colon cleanser that works by delivering oxygen and magnesium to the intestinal system to stimulate a gentle yet effective cleanse. It's the most effective colon cleanse product on the market and one of the best decisions you can make for your health. To learn more and to order your very own supply of Temple Cleanse, visit HealthTruthRevealed.com. That's HealthTruthRevealed.com or call 1-800-593-6273. That's 1-800-593-6273 today.
When I was 12, you were 13, breaking down my door. I was told that you loved me. You don't love me anymore. Such a small thing to dwell on. I wonder what I did. Or maybe it's a sign.
All right, I think it's going to be a big hit. And what a sneak preview that is for many of the people, some of the Shoddy fans, I'm sure, listening to America tonight. The song that you're hearing is called Side Effect. And it's some of the new material that's going to be on an upcoming album for the band that we love, that we embrace on this show. I want these guys to make it big time. And I'm watching them progress, and it's very, very exciting for me. So we're going to talk to Robin Fairbanks, the tour manager, and Guy Keltner is going to join us. And he, of course, is the lead guitarist. In fact, we're going to talk with Guy first. They just came back from a road swing on the West Coast, and I can guarantee they have some interesting stories to tell. I think we've got Guy in the green room. He's going to have to put down that latte. Hey, Guy, how are you?
I'm great. How are you, Kate?
I'm great. It's so good to see you guys having this success, not just in Seattle, but people are starting to find you, talk
Thank
about
you.
You, do the MySpace thing. I love it. I love it. I love it. Well, first of all, let's talk about you went on the road, and for the people listening in the audience, I say this, there's older folks that are listening, younger guys that are listening, guys your age, et cetera, who you know, think of themselves as if I woulda, coulda, shoulda. I did the band thing, but then I had to go off and go get a job, and I had to leave it behind. I mean, I can't tell you how many people I've met like this, so I think they can relate to what we're about to talk about. You got this road swing on the West Coast, and you played some pretty famous places. First of all, what was the first place that you played when you went on the road?
I don't know. The same as the whole time. We played a place in Portland called Satyricon, and that was the first on the. Well, actually, technically, we went to Vancouver before all mm-hmm. this. Sorry, and that was a couple weekends before we actually left for the West Coast tour. But our first out of state gig was in Vancouver, and that was out of the country too. So that was a big deal for us. And it was at a place called the Railway Club, real nice venue up there.
And from there, we did Bellingham, and then the first official tour gig was Portland, and we went down the coast from there. It was a lot of fun, a lot of fun.
Boy, it sounds like a lot of fun. What were the crowds like? Because now you have obvious fans that are in your area, but now you're stepping outside of your area. What was it, you know, what were the crowds like for you? Did they seem to embrace your music?
Well, it depended on the night. If we book the shows through other bands that have a draw already, that of course helps. You know, they've got people coming out to see them anyways. And those were the best nights we had, for sure, were the nights where the bands really did their best to book, you know, market the show to their fans. So in Portland, actually on a Tuesday night, we had a pretty big crowd for that venue. It looked pretty scattered about, but it was pretty full for a Tuesday night, and we were really impressed that the bands had gone through so much trouble for that. And again, that happened in Oakland, and there was just a humongous crowd. It wasn't a huge venue, but I mean, for that venue, it was really packed. We played actually on all Alameda down there, so it was pretty good show. And those were the really really solid ones. You know, the ones where it was kind of just on us to get the crowd out. You know, we're not known down there yet, so that doesn't do much for us.
Yeah, but that's good. It's a good experience to see what that's like and to have to do that. So when you get this all together, apparently you got a van. So is that how you went all the way down? Didn't you go all the way down to San Diego?
Yeah, oh, the van. We actually we went down and back to California twice. We were coming home in between to work for a bit. You know, we still have day jobs, of course. Got to do the grind, trying to make it. But the first time we came back, the van tranny went out while we were going up a big hill, and got stranded. We ended up getting stranded in Cottage Grove, Oregon, for a few days. It was like a 48-hour period of being stranded, and we were bunny hopping tow trucks and stuff to try and get back to Seattle. But in the end, we just had to wait it out in Cottage Grove. And luckily, we had really great family to come. Our keyboard players, dad and grandpa, drove all the way down from Seattle to tow us back with some trucks. And
that was
a rough run of luck there. But we had a good time, regardless of that. I think they even had a good time coming back with us. It was late.
These are all stories that you can tell down the line, and they can tell
definitely.
As well. Are you kidding? So the van breaks down, and you go through all that. But what do you think was the highlight, the best moment of that tour that you just did?
I think that was like that. Actually, we got other stories, but that was the highlight right there, was being able to be stuck. And especially our singer Pat made just the best of the situation. I couldn't have been. I mean, I'm not very level-headed sometimes, and I'm stressed. I don't try to take it out on other people, but I definitely don't make, you know, the best decisions when I'm trying to, like, figure everything out. And he was just really cool about it. He said, you know what, we're here, we're stuck, there's nothing we can do about it, we're not going to just fix this car ourselves, so let's just hang out and have fun. And we all kind of got to bond and go cruise around this small town, and it was a lot of fun to look into all the little, you know, we talked to a lot of people, and that was really good, you know, to meet people, just random, you know, and get the guys to know everybody on the road. It was good making friends. So.
Yeah, no kidding. What's next for the group? Now you've done this, you've gone through this experience, you still are playing other gigs, you're working on music. We just played, of course, at the top Side Effect. What's the next thing in store for you?
Well, we may be making little runs out of Seattle to do, you know, one town for a really good show or something. We might go down to Portland or go up to Vancouver again, maybe hit L.A. again soon. But right now we're going to start writing for our album. We really need to get in gear and just get, you know, a lot of material. We try to be very prolific as songwriters, and we're going to try and get a bunch of songs so we can pare it down to 10 or 15. But we're shooting for that 100 song mark, you know, and just see what we can get out of everybody.
Yeah, now the 100, what's significant about the 100 song mark?
I think we had a few people tell us, you know, like, you know, write some. They were just, I think it was a ballpark number, and that's what we're shooting for. Now, I think it's just kind of, you got to set your goals in a certain way, you know, we all write a certain amount of songs, but I think we're shooting to get about 100 down, and it gives us a lot of material to draw from, and not that, you know, it all will be bad, but we're only going to like, you know, a certain number of songs to want to put in an album, mm-hmm. And I'm sure there's going to be a lot of debating, but if we can write that many, which I'm sure we're all capable of, then, you know, we'll have a lot more to draw from to make a quality product when we do our album, our first, like, huge record.
Yeah, good for you. You know, I'm still working on my first song.
Good luck with that.
Guy, thanks. It's always fun to talk with you, Guy Keltner. Good luck along the way. And I guess we're going to chat now with Robin Fairbanks, who, of course, is the manager for this band, and I'm sure from her eyes it's a little bit of a different view, some of the things that happened along the way. Robin, how are you?
Hello.
Hey, how are you, Robin?
Hey, I'm doing great.
It looks like you lost your voice with these young men of Shoddy and having to be towed and all that other sort of stuff. What was it as a tour manager? What's that like?
Well, the first leg of the tour, I didn't go with them. And then I didn't hear for them for like 12 hours, and I started getting nervous. And then I'm texting going, where are you? And then they didn't want to tell me, I guess, that they had broken down. They were trying to figure it out on their own and get it, you know, fixed. So once I found that out and knew they were stuck, you know, I was a bit worried, to say the least, you know, to make sure that everybody was safe and warm and fed and all of that. But I thought they did a really good job of handling it, and it was good, good experience, because this will not be the first time, obviously, that this will happen.
Mm-mm. So when you were out with them, though, for you, what was the best part?
Yeah, you know, our highlights are much different. My highlight definitely was playing the legendary Whiskey A Go Go.
That's awesome.
To see my band on that stage when I know every great band from Led Zeppelin to Janis Joplin got their start there, absolutely. That and the Viper Room, those two clubs were phenomenal for me to watch my band on at this point. And then we also got invited to audition for a studio down there who had seen us at the Whiskey A Go Go and invited us in the next day. So to see my band get to that level and start seeing things progress was pretty exciting for me personally.
Yeah, and the Whiskey A Go Go, as many listeners will know this even across the country if they've read about any of the bands that you just mentioned, Janis Joplin. I think even, anyone who was anyone that went through there played certainly there. What was it? What was the crowd like at the Whiskey now?
You know, we play during the week, which in L.A. they will tell you is mostly when bands showcase, and that's when industry people come out. They don't come out on the weekends when it's really packed. So being a new band, you know, we don't get weekend slots yet in L.A. We've got to kind of prove ourselves. So we didn't have a huge crowd, but that really wasn't the point for us to go down there. For us, this was, you know, in a way, for me, it's kind of like a space mission, you know, go to a new planet and you put the rover out and you test the soil to learn how to navigate and you check the air to see if you can survive. And to me, this was kind of a learning lesson for us to go out and kind of test the waters. And we just wanted to be able to actually play well at the club, because really it comes down to the staff and the club. If they like you, I mean, they recognize talent. And just for us, it's going to take a while for us to keep going down to L.A. and create a presence for ourselves. So, you know, this was just our first time, and the band played phenomenal, and I couldn't have been more proud of the way they played.
Yeah, you know, I think the Doors played there. That was one of the Doors' breakout places, the Whiskey, I believe.
I think every great band, has played the Whiskey and the Viper Room at one point.
Yeah, I agree with you. All right, Robin, if people want to check out the music of Shoddy, where can they go? They have a MySpace place, I know.
Yeah, they can find them on MySpace, and they can certainly find them on Facebook as well. We're on YouTube. They're just about everywhere that you can look, you'll find the band.
But
you just MySpace/Shoddy.
All right, excellent. Robin, I'll talk to you soon. Congratulations. I think the band is really clicking along. You're doing a great job.
Thanks for all your support.
Oh, you're welcome. Of course,
I
totally support this band. I love this band. Hey, coming up next on the flip side, we've got Odds and Ends. We're going to fill you in on what's going on in D.C. and all the rest of the stuff next. Hang with us here on ATN.
ECigarettesNational.com would like to introduce an alternative to smoking regular cigarettes to all GCN listeners. It's called the e-cigarette. It looks, feels, tastes, and delivers nicotine like a regular cigarette. But because this is not a cigarette, you don't have to worry about more than 3,900 toxic chemicals and tar entering your body. There's no flame, so there's no risk of fire, and has no dangerous secondhand smoke, so it's safe for the people around you and will save you right around 50%.
20% over smoking regular cigarettes. So, get rid of the ashtrays, the smell, and the smoke. Learn more by visiting ecigarettesnational.com. That's the letter E, cigarettesnational.com. ecigarettesnational.com. And use coupon code GCN and receive 10% off your order. Or call 1-888-329-7064. 1-888-329-7064 today. To purchase, you must be 18 or older.
How many times have you been in a situation where having a hidden audio or video recorder would have made a difference in your life? In the past, owning a hidden video recorder has been expensive and too much of a bother to carry. That was then. This is now. Introducing Diginet Spy Sunglasses. These sunglasses contain a small hidden camera that will record up to 4 hours of real-time audio and video. The Diginet sunglasses are perfect for traffic stops, unlawful searches and seizures, town hall meetings, proving your innocence, or any other situation you'd like to record. And if sunglasses aren't for you, check out the DigiPen. It does the same great job as the sunglasses, but in the form of a functional pen. Video never lies. Watch Big Brother back. Visit diginet.net. That's diginet.net. 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 Or call 1-888-344-6681. 1-888-344-6681 today.
For years, doctors and researchers have known that one of the major pathways to better health is an alkaline diet rich in minerals and antioxidants to keep the body in proper pH balance. For 15 years, people have trusted AlkaZone, the simplest way of keeping the body in pH balance, getting rid of acidic waste buildup, and boosting the immune system through antioxidant support. AlkaZone's unique formula contains potassium, magnesium, calcium, zinc, and the antioxidant selenium, along with 79 trace minerals from ancient marine deposits. Unlike other products, AlkaZone is odorless and tasteless and can be added to any beverage to offset its acidity. AlkaZone also manufactures antioxidant water fountains that will both filter and raise the pH of the tap water in your home to a pH of 10. To learn more and to place your order for a 45-day supply for only $25, visit AlkaZone.com. That's A-L-K-A-Zone.com. Use coupon code RADIO and receive a limited-time discount. Call AlkaZone today at 1-800-810-1888. That's 1-800-810-1888.
I'm just wild about Harry.
It's always fun to have Harry Rinker on the show. As I say, he is the guru of anything collectible. And I've got a lot of people who have asked me questions that they want Harry to answer about, even just in general, what's going on with the collecting business. If you have anything that you would like to know the estimated value of and you're curious about whatever it is, your little treasures that you have, he is the perfect guy and we have him in the perfect spot. He's coming out of our green room right now, walking down the hallway to appear on this little old radio program. So dial these digits, 800-259-5791, 800-259-5791. Harry, how are you?
I'm doing great. It's fall season here, getting a little chilly here in the east. Down in the 40s tonight here in Connecticut. But we still have the outdoor season left. Well, actually, that's not quite true. Last weekend was Renninger's Extravaganza in Pennsylvania, and that was the end of the northern season, so everybody's heading south right now, so the northern outdoor flea markets are pretty much over. We have one here in Brookfield that operates almost year-round, actually, a flea market, but the big ones are pretty much over, and so everything is moving to the south for the moment anyway.
Yeah, our flea markets are pretty big in the Northeast, but I think everywhere anymore, right?
Yeah, I think you have to be real careful when you're out on the flea market circuit exactly what kind of flea market you're talking about. In the old days, we used to use the term flea market synonymous with antiques and collectibles flea market, and then all of a sudden we started getting the tube socks and whatever. And now if you're going to go to a flea market, you really want to know, is it an antiques and collectibles flea market? That is it a flea market where the bulk of the dealers are selling antiques and collectibles, or is it a swap meet, which is really more, secondhand merchandise. We like to call it merchandise that fell off the back of trucks, cough, cough, and other things. But you have swap meets out there, and then you have kind of a combination. Kane County, which is a great antiques and collectibles flea market of sorts, has gotten over the years very much starting to lead the other merchandise. And the great one, the Rose Bowl flea market in Pasadena, went from antiques and collectibles to a lot of recyclable merchandise and so forth. Although it now has moved back towards the antiques and collectibles market a little bit more. They have distinct sections there, but there still is a lot of the other stuff. So before you go out to look at a flea market, do some homework and find out exactly what's there. You have to be especially careful down south, where the word flea market is usually often used to describe really a collection of recyclable goods rather than real antiques and collectibles type stuff.
Yeah, right. Some definitely good advice.
Right,
there.
But you have the big flea markets like Brenninger, Brimfield up in Connecticut, three times a year. Brenninger's Extravaganza, Springfield, Ohio. That's still Long Beach, California. That still stay very pure to the antiques and Portland Expo too, which still, as I say, stay very, very much committed to the antiques and collectibles sector.
Yeah. I have two emails that I've been holding on to. One is from Ann, and Ann asks if there is anything with needlepoint, that she has all this needlepoint. She didn't give big descriptions of it, just say she has all this needlepoint that she's collected over the years. And would that even be any, you know, on anyone's
radar?
Well,
obviously, if it's 18th and early 19th century needlepoint, it's good stuff. That's really the high end of the collectibles. But in the 1920s and 30s, it was quite popular to do what they called needlepoint mottos. You know, there would be like a saying or verse and, you know, about life at home or whatever. And those things were considered junk for the longest time in the antiques and collectibles field. And today, the mottos will sell conservatively for $35, $45 to go up from there, depending on how elaborate they are. Now, you know, needlework could be anything. It can be embroidered tablecloths. Again, a lot of the stuff in the 20s and 30s, the red silhouette-type quilts, the tablecloths and napkin sets that had embroidery or needlework on them can have some value. But they have to be in usable condition. There's a lot of qualifications. Can it have value? Yeah. You want to be real careful, though, just because they, oh, it's handwork, needlework. It has value. A lot of it was rather amateurishly done. And for the collectors, they want really good stuff. Again, it goes back to my favorite phrase, the stuff that speaks period. If you look at it, you say, oh, that design is 1920s, or that design is 1930s, or that color scheme fits in one of those time periods, then you're fine. It's when you get something and you look at it and you say, oh, I can't figure out when that's from, and, yeah, it's kind of all right, but that's not a good thing. By the way, we've got a letter in the mailbag, too, if you didn't know that.
Yeah,
Now, the mailbag, and we'll tell you to get pencil and paper handy because that's the way you can email me with your questions, and that way I can do some work on that. This is one of our listeners he says he listens to you at KY590,
mm-hmm.
Wherever that is.
Okay.
I meant to look it up, and I didn't. Anyway, his name is William, and he sent me two pictures. We'll do one of them tonight, maybe one another time. When he was in Athens, Greece, while he was studying abroad in college 10 years ago, he found a lighter that was made out of what appears to be an old bullet shell. And on the lighter are several things relating to World War II Nazi things. There's a swastika. There is an eagle holding a swastika. These are applied to the case. Even the top of it has a spread-wing eagle. But what's interesting is across the center of it is a band with a date on it, which he looked up, and it was actually the date when they tried to assassinate Hitler. You know, it was in the movie The Valkyrie. Now, mm-hmm. I'm just going to tell him that the coincidence is just that. It's just a coincidence. This is obviously a souvenir made by somebody out in the field. They often took old shell casings and other things and created all kinds of stuff, which is known in the antiques and collectibles trade as trench art. And what they did is they took a standard cigarette lighter of the period and put it inside of this. And it's really neat. And I'm a big fan of neat stuff. You know, the theme of it might turn some people off. But from a perspective view of a lighter collector, you're talking minimum 75 to 100, maybe even more. Now, if our America Tonight listeners would like to write to us or email us with a note, here's what we'd like you to do. My email address is Harry L. Rinker, HarryLRinker, Harry L. Rinker at AOL.com. When you email me, try to be as detailed as you can. Now, what William did is he included five photographs of each of the items he was asking about, and so that enabled me to really take a quick look at this stuff and come up with some pretty solid information about it. Start your email, I listen to you on America Tonight, and provide the name of the radio station. That way I know it's an America Tonight mailbag letter, and I can pull it aside and answer it here when I'm on with Kate. I'm on with Kate every other week. We got a little mixed up here, so this is 2 weeks in a row, but 2 weeks from tonight I'll be back again. And we'll be on our two-week schedule. I'm getting organized, finally, in my life. But anyway, send your question to Harry L. Rinker, HarryLRinker, at AOL.com. Now, please remember, I don't have time to do personal answers, but I will take the questions and answer them here on the air with Kate.
All right, so we'll see you not next week, but the following week, Harry. And also, tell everybody how they can hear you on the air, because, of course, you're streaming live, too, on Sundays.
We are streaming live. You know, you just like with Kate's show, you can go to gcnlive.com, click on Listen to Talk. My show is on Sunday mornings, 8 to 10 Eastern, 7 to 9 Central, 6 to 8 Mountain, 5 to 7 Pacific. This, strangely enough, Kate, the same 800 number works for my show as yours. It's amazing how things work in life, isn't it?
It is. Have a good show this weekend, Harry.
Listen,
thanks.
The Phillies finally clinched tonight. You're in good shape,
Woo,
Kate.
I love it. I know. I was very excited. I was waiting for you to say that, or I was going to tell
you on
the way
out. It's okay. The Yankees aren't doing bad either.
Thanks, Harry.
Goodbye, Kate.
All right. Have fun this weekend. Harry Rinker, just a great guy, and so knowledgeable about anything collectible. Take advantage of the mailbag, because that's like free advice. Or call us when he comes on the show next time around. I know a lot of you were able to call in last week, so he won't be here next week, but he'll be on the following week. I'll remind everybody of that so you'll know when he's going to appear on America Tonight. Coming up around the bend, we're going to talk about distracted drivers. Haven't they always been around, distracted drivers, and the death of Saturn? Anybody cruising around in a Saturn? Sadly, GM says it's the end of the line for the good old Saturn. Stay with us.
Guess how many boobs I saw today.